Hello, South Belt Church. Thank you for tuning in to this morning's worship service. I want to encourage you to go ahead and watch the entire thing, even after you think the sermon and stuff's over. There are some announcements at the end that we're going to give you some instructions for an activity that you can participate in this afternoon here at the church, and that's important. So I hope you'll stay and pick up on the possibilities of that opportunity. I want to continue this morning on talking about wise boundaries. Today, wise boundaries as they particularly relate to the friends that we allow into our life. When I was raising my kids, I put restrictions on their activities, and those restrictions were largely based on who they were hanging out with. I would ask questions like, where are you going? What time will you be home? Who are you going with? Who's driving? Will there be adults present? If so, which adults? And inevitably, I would get the teenage eye roll, and they would suck their teeth at me and say, when are you going to start trusting me? And my response would always be the same. I would look at them with all sincerity and say, look, at this point, you have given me no reason not to trust you. I do trust you. I don't trust other people. I don't know what their intent is for your life. I don't know what influence they desire to have over you as they seek to be in a relationship with you. And in parenting this way, I was trying to teach them that caution about who you hang out with and who you allow into the innermost parts of your life really matters. Who you let influence you really matters. Who you let into your most inner circle matters. Wise boundaries when choosing our friends and with relationships in general is critical for living your best life. Our highest highs in life are often established by the people we are with and people that we love. People can be wonderful sources of joy in our life, but they are also the greatest sources of pain in our life. And so we have to be very cautious and very careful about how we allow these experiences and these friendships and relationships to develop. Too many of us have believed the lie at one time or another that any friend or relationship is better than being alone. I understand that. Loneliness is lonely. Loneliness is hard. But there are worse things than loneliness. There are worse things that can happen in being alone. And compromised boundaries in choosing friends and establishing relationships can lead to worse things. Let's look at the scripture here to find our source of help. The scriptures we're going to talk about, two, come from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is considered Jewish wisdom literature by theologians, and it is 31 chapters of just what it says it is, wisdom. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says this, whoever walks in the ways of the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. The companion of fools will suffer harm. What Solomon, the author of Proverbs, is trying to teach us here is that my friends greatly influence my course. They greatly influence the path and the trajectory of my life. Let me give you an example. My son Seth was born right here in Harris County. Been a city boy his entire life. He belonged to the Latin club in high school for 4 years. When he was a junior in high school, he competed in Greek mythology and finished fourth in the state. He was in the marching band and he played the tuba. And his wardrobe consisted of basketball shorts and t-shirts and tennis shoes and flip-flops. When it came time for him to go away to college, he decided to go to Texas Tech. Upon arriving in Texas Tech, he was looking for a sense of community. He was looking to establish friendships. He was looking to find somebody where he could commune with them and they could commune with him. And he found a group, a godly group, thank the Lord. He found community. And because of the influence of those people in that community, he gave up the tuba and he picked up the guitar. He started dove hunting, which is something I never taught him how to do. He gave up his flip-flops for Crocs, and he traded in his basketball shorts for Wranglers and cowboy boots. Why? Because the friends that he had found and the community that he had established influenced the course of his life. Friendly influence will affect the direction and the quality of your life. It's important about how we choose our friends. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Let me ask you this morning, what litmus test do you have in place to determine who you would build an intimate friendship with? What test do you have in place? How do you filter your friendships? How do you judge and gauge the quality of relationships? There must be biblical filters applied. Now, some of you right now this morning are going all hyper-spiritual on me, and you're quoting in your head Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus talks about, well, I'm not called to be a judge. Well, let's look at that for a minute if we would. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 5, Jesus says, do not judge or you will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus is asking you to perform personal and spiritual assessment on your own life. It is a great asset for you and I to do this on a regular basis. Spiritual self-assessment should always be in the forefront of our mind. Our motivation should always be filtered through Jesus and through the Scripture. Our action should always be filtered with self-examination. Jesus is asking us to do this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. I'm not asking you to be judgmental in determining quality friendships and quality relationships in your life. What I'm asking you to do and what I'm asking you to be is to use good judgment in establishing relationships and friendships in your life. And I believe that the Scripture is asking us to do the same thing. It's interesting when people quote Matthew chapter 7, they almost always stop at verse 5. They will say, don't judge and make sure you take the plank out of your own eye before you remove the speck of dust from someone else's eye. But if you miss verse 6, then you miss the full context of Matthew chapter 7. And so verse 6 says, after we're told not to judge, and after we're told that however we judge, we're going to be judged accordingly, and after we're told to take the plank out of our own eye before we remove the speck in someone else's eye, and in verse 6 says, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they will trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Do you understand the context? What Jesus is saying here is that good judgment is required by you. Jesus is saying you are sacred. You are a masterpiece. You are adopted as a child of God. You are the apple of His eye. He rejoices over you with singing. And He is saying, don't give yourself away to rabid dogs that only want to use you. Use good judgment in avoiding the howling and the snarling that some might want to bring into your life. You have to use good judgment in establishing quality relationships. Again, you are sacred. You are God's masterpiece. You are adopted as a child of God. You are the apple of His eye. He rejoices over you with singing. You are God's treasure. We are told that Jesus is the pearl of great price. And if Jesus resides in you, then you do not need to be cast before swine. Don't throw yourself under the feet of ravenous swine who want to trample you for their own appetites. Use good judgment in avoiding the muck of the pig pen, of those who would want to keep you stuck in the mud. When Jesus sent his disciples out to build relationships with people in the community so that they could share with them the gospel, he says, I need you to go out among these people. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. They're going to want to eat you up and rip you to shreds. I'm asking you to be a lamb. But then Jesus says, I need you to be as shrewd as snakes, but I need you to be as gentle as doves. He asked them to use good judgment in building relationships, not be judgmental. He asked them to use discernment in who you share sacred things with, and you are a sacred thing. Use good judgment in that. Friends greatly influence my course, but friends also greatly influence my character. In other words, I will become like those whose friendships I value and who I allow to be intimate in intimate relationships with me. Again, Proverbs, this time chapter 12, verse 26. The godly give good advice to their friends. The wicked lead them astray. When I was in junior high school, I was desperate for friends. I had spent my entire education in special ed to that point. And as I began to emerge and to mature and hit puberty, I was tired of being the chubby outcast. I was tired of being the special ed kid. I was tired of being the slow learner, the one who rode the retarded bus, as I was labeled by my peers. I wanted to find a place to belong. And I determined in my heart that I was going to find a place with anybody who would accept me. I would do and I would become anything they wanted me to be and do and become just so I could belong. And so what happened is I found myself connected to a group of misfits, somewhere between the drinking and drugging kids and the bully and thugging kids. A few of those kids, because their parents made them, hung out on the fringes of church. But the allure of drugging and thugging always seemed to keep Christianity at bay. The church kids, for the most part, wanted nothing to do with me. But I found that I had an ability to sing. And so I joined the church choir. And after about a year, I began to find community with people in the choir. And in my freshman year of high school, I walked away from the ones who were leading me down a path of criminal activity to a group who was much more interested in encouraging me in the ways of Christ and in the ways of the gospel. As a result, they influenced me, and I changed my friends. I changed my friends because I found a group who was more interested in helping my character than in helping my criminal activity. As they encouraged me, I started walking down a path where I could be someone who encouraged others down their path. Your friends greatly influence your character. You must intentionally choose the direction of that influence. Companion of the wise makes one wise, but the companion of a fool will suffer harm. I get tongue-tied, actually, when I quote that passage, because it doesn't seem to have a logical progression to me. It says, walk with the wise and become wise. And I expect it to finish up, if you're a companion of the fools, then you'll become a fool. But that's not what it says. If you look at Proverbs 13:20 again, it says, whoever walks with the wise become wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. What Solomon is saying there is that if you choose to pal around with fools, even if you do not intend to be foolish, even if you do not intend to do foolish things, you will eventually get caught up in the wake of their foolishness and in the wake of their drama. Be intentional about who you choose to be friends with. It is best not to be a companion of fools. Because even though you may in your heart say, I'm not going to do what they do, I'm not going to go where they go, the chances of you getting caught up in the wake of their foolishness is almost guaranteed. Don't be judgmental, but use good judgment. Make the right kind of friends. More importantly, keep the right kind of friends. Their influence on your life is real. The friends you have, the company you keep, have real influence on your life. Are your friends and relationships influencing you to be more like Jesus? If not, maybe it's time you limit their access to your life. Because you are precious, God wants you to live your best life. And you can live your best life with the right kind of friends. Choose wisely, not in a judgmental way, but in a way that uses wise judgment. Pray with me. Father God, we thank you for your instruction on friendship, for your care that you have in being friends with us. Help us always filter through you the friendships that we have. Help us always filter through your word the kinds of relationships you would have us establish. And help our life bring honor and glory to you because of the friends that we choose and because of the company we keep. May we spur one another on towards the prize as iron sharpens iron. Would you be glorified through our lives? In Jesus' name, amen.